The World Tomorrow. Herbert W. Armstrong brings you the plain truth about today's world news and the prophecies of the world tomorrow.
Well, greetings, friends. This is Herbert W. Armstrong with the good news of the world tomorrow. What's prophesied to happen to the United States? Back now once again to that prophecy. World War III, as I've said before, is prophesied, but not in the way that you think. Great as our nation is today, its final destiny is far greater, and with an ultimate glory that we don't even dream of today. But first, my friends, there are lessons that we have to learn. Catastrophic events are prophesied to befall the United States unless we wake up and return to our God before we can finally come out into the position, into the destiny that is foretold in the very word of God for our people and our nation. Ultimately, we're to become the top people of this entire world. You've heard me speak so much of the happy, the peaceful, the joyful world tomorrow. That good news, my friends, is the very gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the gospel that he preached. It's the gospel that he has sent his ministers to proclaim. This entire earth is going to lie at peace, and it's going to come in our very present time, our generation, this 20th century A.D. You probably are going to live to see it. The whole world, no hospitals, no sick, no prisons, none of that sort of thing at all. All sin, all sickness, all crime, those things ultimately are to be banished. Now think of a world, my friends, where we're going to have peace, universal prosperity, everybody having plenty, everybody happy, because we're going to finally have to learn the way to peace. And it'll only come when God Almighty intervenes in present world affairs, where God sends Jesus Christ once again to this earth as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to rule all nations with divine and supernatural force, setting up world government, the very government of God over all this earth. Jesus Christ is going to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And then after mankind has learned these lessons, my friends, we're going to have peace. The earth is going to be full of the knowledge of the eternal God. Think of that. And he's going to rebuke, that is, Jesus Christ is going to rebuke strong nations afar off, all over this earth, until they beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. And then when that world tomorrow finally comes, my friends, the United States and the British people, our people, shall have learned some very severe lessons, and we're going to be on top of the world forever. We're going to be on top of the world first for 1,000 years, and we'll stay on top if we find God's way and find eternal life, and if we are changed from human to divine, from mortal to immortal, if our people are saved, and ultimately they will be. Because you read that all of our people. That doesn't necessarily mean everyone in it in the Bible language in which you read it, but we are Israel in your Bible. You've got to know where the United States is mentioned in your Bible, or you can't understand prophecy. Let me say once again that if you don't understand that, if you don't know where we're mentioned in the Bible prophecies, you'd better write in for our booklet, The United States in Prophecy. Don't put it off, but do it immediately. Well, my friends, in the meantime, we have some lessons to learn. Our land is filled with hospitals. Our land is filled with insane people. Our land is filled with crime. Our land is filled with everything wrong. And we have a lot of it. And we've got a few lessons to learn before we can find the way to the kind of peace and everything that we are going to have. We're going to have to be punished unless we'll heed the warning. If you won't heed this kind of warning from God Almighty, my friends, then he's going to give you a kind of warning you will heed. He's going to punish, and he's going to punish with catastrophic happenings that if you could just see what is foretold and what is prophesied for the United States, unless we'll wake up, what is prophesied that God is going to use to punish us, to bring us to our senses, Well, you just wouldn't sleep tonight like you probably will. You wouldn't go about so casual and so unconcerned, like a foolish ostrich with its head stuck in the sand, if you knew what is going to come on our nation unless our people will wake up and heed. Now, we're going to learn this lesson one way or the other. If we won't heed it, by those that are the faithful ministers of Jesus Christ that will bring you his gospel truthfully and faithfully and showing our people their sins and not just lulling you to sleep by patting you on the back and making you pretty well satisfied with yourself and all of the rottenness that is going along in the average human makeup today, because human nature, you know, has a great deal of evil in it. It's in every one of us. And unless we're going to wake up to it and get control of it and return to our God and ask his help, my friends, we're going to be punished. Now, I was reading to you the other day in the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy. Now, here again is a prophecy. It has a dual fulfillment. And I want to show you that a lot of this prophecy now is pertaining to our time now. The 28th chapter of Deuteronomy. Real quickly, let me just skim over what we went through the other day. And it shall come to pass. Now, this was written and inspired by God Almighty, written by Moses, way back there in the days of Moses. It shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Eternal thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, that the Eternal thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. When we have learned our lessons and we are diligently observing his commandments, living by the very laws of God, and those laws, incidentally, are recorded in the Word of God, and we could live by them now if we weren't so busy saying that we don't have to live by the laws of God and trying to cross out a large part of our Bibles. When we've learned that lesson, we are going to be set high above all the nations of the earth. Now, this was, of course, primarily to ancient Israel back in that day. They could have been set high above all the nations of the earth then. Remember, God had promised this very position to Abraham for his children, unconditionally, because Abraham kept God's commandments. And because he kept God's laws, his statutes, and so God's commandments did exist back there in the days of Moses. And they also did exist 430 years before the time of Moses in the days of Abraham, 430 years before Moses. Now, if they would keep his commandments in that day, Moses said, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Eternal thy God. A lot of blessings are given here that were to come on them in their city and out in the farm and every place of the kind. They were to have bounteous crops. They were to have wealth that would come out of the ground. In verse 7, the Eternal shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. That's happened. Now, they were promised those blessings in that day of Moses if they would obey God, but they didn't. And then he said in Leviticus 26 that if they would not, that they would then be punished for 2,520 years. These promises withheld that long, but the promises are unconditional, because the promises were made to Abraham because Abraham kept God's commandments and his laws and his statutes. And so after 2,520 years, we come to the time of 1800 A.D. And in 1800 A.D., my friends, the descendants of Ephraim and Manasseh, the sons of Joseph, who had the birthright, and remember, the Jewish people or Judah had the scepter promise of whom Christ came, but the birthright was Joseph's and not Judah's. And we are the descendants of Joseph. The British are the descendants of Joseph's son Ephraim, the United States, the descendant of his son Manasseh. And my friends, God has kept those promises since the year of 1800 A.D. But now, once again, the curses are going to come on us if we don't obey. God has already kept the promises that he made to Abraham. God doesn't stand bound to keep them for all eternity. He has kept them, period. We have had the luxury. We have had the position of greatness over all the nations of the earth. Now, if we're going to continue to have it, my friends, we have to learn the way to have it. We have to keep God's commandments. We have to come to surrender to his laws. Now, it said here in verse 8, the Eternal shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and all that thou settest thine hand unto. Well, that has really happened to us since 1800, but it isn't going to happen any longer. God's going to punish now unless we wake up and learn our lesson. Verse 12, the Eternal shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give thee rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand, that thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. Oh, how God has kept that promise in us today, after the 2,520 years of suspending the promise because ancient Israel would not obey him. We've had it not because we have obeyed, but because Abraham obeyed God. And the Lord, the Eternal, will make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if thou hearken unto the commandments of the Eternal thy God. From here on, my friends, we cannot maintain this possession that we have, this position of being the head and not the tail. We cannot maintain this position unless we're going to obey God from here on. Up to now, we've had it because Abraham obeyed God. From now on, we have to obey him if we're going to maintain it. Now, verse 15 again. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Eternal thy God, to do his commandments, his statutes, and all of that, that all these curses shall come upon thee to overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, cursed shalt thou be in the field, cursed shall be the basket of thy store, and so on. The Eternal will send on thee cursing and vexation, rebuke, in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do until thou be destroyed. Now that's going to come on us unless we wake up. All right, verse 24, and the Eternal shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed, unless we'll wake up. My friends, we have come to the place where that's going to happen unless we'll wake up and turn to God. The Eternal shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. That too is coming. And I've shown you, my friends, prophecy after prophecy, that as Jesus said in his prophecy, first is to come the famine and the disease epidemic that will accompany it, and then after that is coming the invasion. And this time God will not step in and win the war for us as he has done in past wars. Now, you think this is just talking about some past time? Oh, my friends, listen. Let's go a little further. Verse 36, the Eternal shall bring thee and thy king which thou hast set over thee unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, and there shalt thou serve other gods, wood and stone. And thou shalt become an astonishment, and so on. Thou shalt carry much seed out into the field and shall gather but little in, for the locust shall consume it. Thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them, but shalt neither drink of the wine nor gather the grape, for the worms shall eat them. Well, that's only just a warning. It's going to come in much greater measure later on if we don't wake up. Now, a little further, I want you to notice. Because thou servest not the Eternal thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart, for abundance of all these things, therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, going into a captivity, which the Eternal shall send against thee in hunger, and in thirst, and in nakedness, and in want of all things, and he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck. Now listen, a yoke of iron on our neck, until he have destroyed thee. The Eternal shall bring a nation against thee from afar, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth. And the words "as swift" are actually added because when this was written over 400 years ago, they didn't know that men would ever fly. And so they added those words. They were not inspired at all. Moses didn't write those words. Let me read it like Moses wrote it. The Eternal shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand, a nation that will come as the eagle flies, in other words, in the air, modern warfare. That's a prophecy for our time, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor unto the young, a nation whose language we shall not understand. Now, my friends, I want you to turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, the fifth chapter and the 15th verse for just a moment, and I want to show you that that is talking about a time of invasion and captivity that is yet to come. It has not already happened. Jeremiah 5, the 15th verse. Listen. Here it is again. Through Jeremiah, God is saying this, and it's a prophecy of what is going to happen in the future. Lo, God says, I will bring a nation upon you from afar, O house of Israel, saith the Eternal. It is a mighty nation, it is an ancient nation, a nation whose language thou knowest not, nor understandest what they say. And that is written not to the Jewish people, the house of Judah, but to the American and the British people, the house of Israel. God says, I will bring a nation upon thee from afar, O house of Israel. That was written by Jeremiah in the year of 580 B.C. My friends, the ancient captivity of Israel had occurred in the year of 721 B.C. And this was not written until 580 B.C., and it isn't saying I did do it way back there, but he says, I will bring a nation upon you from afar, O house of Israel. In 580 B.C. that was written. And there has been no such invasion on the house of Israel from that day until this, and so it yet remains to be fulfilled. Israel's only captivity had been in 721 B.C., and even the Judah captivity had happened in the year of 604 B.C. and 585 B.C., and my friends, this was not written until 580 B.C., and he says, I will bring a nation upon you from afar. Why, both Israel and Judah had gone into captivity when Jeremiah wrote those words, my friends. So you see, he's speaking of the same thing, using the same words there that Moses uses back here in Deuteronomy 28. And therefore, we know that it is a prophecy for our time. There is a duality of fulfillment in the prophecies. Now, there was the literal fulfillment in the days of Jeremiah, and that first invasion and captivity did happen to ancient Israel in the year 721 B.C. and to Judah in the year 604 and 585 B.C. But in the year of 580 B.C., Jeremiah wrote, where God says, I will bring a nation upon you from afar. Now, I've given you the prophecies in Ezekiel, my friends, where God says the same thing. And Ezekiel wrote also after Israel had gone into captivity over 130 years. And so I tell you, my friends, we'd better take heed. Now, did you notice back here that God had said that this nation from afar, whose language we don't understand, coming upon us, he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck. Did you notice that? All right, will you turn with me now to Jeremiah, the 30th chapter? And I want you to notice what is here prophesied once again. Jeremiah 30. Remember, this was written after 580 B.C. For lo, the days come, saith the Eternal, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, saith the Eternal, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers. That's Palestine. And that returning to Palestine is everywhere prophesied to take place at the second coming of Christ. I want you to notice, I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah. I will cause them to return to the land I gave their fathers. For thus saith the Eternal. Well, now these are the words that the Eternal spoke concerning Israel and concerning Judah, both houses. So listen. Thus saith the Eternal, we have heard the voice of trembling and of fear, not of peace. Therefore it's a time of war. Ask ye now and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail? All faces are turned into paleness. A terrible time of suffering, of trouble, of national trouble. And verse 7, alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. He'll get into it and then be saved out of it after he gets into it. Now, you remember in Jesus' prophecy in Matthew 24, he spoke of a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation till this same time, no, nor ever shall be again. And he said, except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved alive. But for the elect's sake, he's going to step in and save us at that time. And immediately after that, if you read back there in Jesus' prophecy in Matthew 24, the second coming of Christ will follow almost immediately after that. I tell you, my friends, if you just get all these prophecies and put them all together, you find they just fit right in together and the tale they tell. Well, it's horrible for us right now unless we wake up and turn to God. But it's wonderful what is going to happen to us if and when we learn our lesson. Now, that time of trouble, the greatest that ever happened, is spoken of in Daniel 12. It's spoken of by Jesus Christ in Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22. It is the great tribulation. and it is the time of Jacob's trouble. Now I'd like to read from there on the next verse, the 8th verse in the Moffat translation. For on this day, says the Lord of hosts, I will break the yoke from their neck. Now, I read you how even in Moses' prophecy in Deuteronomy, a yoke was to be put on our neck. And now he says, for on this day, says the Eternal of hosts, I will break the yoke from their neck. Now, that's on this awful day, this most terrible day, the time of Jacob's trouble. I will break the yoke from their neck and snap their thongs. They shall serve foreigners no more, but serve their God, the Eternal, and their Davidic king, whom I will raise up for them. It's the time of the resurrection. It's the time when David shall be resurrected. Now you find this same thing, the time of trouble that is the greatest that ever happened in the world, in the 12th chapter of Daniel. And there it says that many that sleep in the dust of the ground shall awake some to everlasting life. David is one of those that will awake at that time in the resurrection of the just, because David is going to be in the kingdom of God. David is going to be there, and all the holy prophets. And Jesus said to the Pharisees, you shall see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom, and all the holy prophets, and you yourselves thrust out. So they're going to be thrust out. They won't be there. Fear not then, my servant Jacob, O Israel, be not dismayed, for I will bring you safe from afar, and your race from the land of their exile, the land of our captivity. Now, who's going to do it? Why, Christ. I, that is Christ speaking, and he's going to do it at his second coming. Listen. Jacob again shall have quiet and ease, and none shall disturb him. For I am with you, the Eternal promises to succor you. I will put an end to all the nations where I have scattered you. That's speaking now of the second coming of Christ. But I will not put an end to you. Listen, I will chastise you, but not too hard. That's a prophecy for our time. My friends, both Israel and Judah had already gone into their captivity when Jeremiah wrote those words. And he wrote this, I will not have already done it. The chastising that you read about in history had already happened. But here he says, I will chastise you, but not too hard, though I must punish you. For this is the Eternal's word. Your hurt is beyond healing. Your wound is sore. There is none to bandage you, no salve for your bruise. All your allies have forgotten you. Now, we made an ally of Russia in World War II. Has Russia forgotten us? Now, I am not speaking of Britain, my friends, because Britain is one with us in this prophecy. When he says your allies, he means the British and the United States. We are intended to be allies, always have been, and always shall be. And the alliance, any alliance between the United States and the British people, and even those democracies of northwestern Europe, that will always have God's blessing. But any alliances we make with other nations are never going to work out, and they're under a divine curse because God Almighty from heaven has forbidden us to do that. All your allies have forgotten you. They care nothing for you. God says, I have wounded you as a foe wounds with cruel punishment. Now, why does God punish? Why did you ever read over in Hebrews, my friends, that God punishes every son whom he loves? I don't know that God loves our American people above the other nations of the earth, because God is no respecter of persons. But we are his chosen people. We're the people he chose for service, and we're not performing the service he chose us to perform. Now he says, why wail over your hurt, that your pain is past all healing? I did it all to you for your guilt profound, for your sins that so abound. Yet all who devour you shall be devoured. Your foes shall all be exiled. Those who despoil you shall themselves be spoiled. Your plunderers, I will have them plundered. For I will give you health again. We're going to come back to national health, and that means economically as well as physically and every other way. And heal your wounds, the Eternal promises. You whom the hunters called an outcast, our quarry, no one cares for her, said the other nations, the Gentile nations. This is the Eternal's word. Jacob's exiles I will restore. I will take pity on his homes. His towns will be rebuilt on other sites, and buildings stand where once they stood. That's what he says, my friends, that he's going to do to us and for us and with us. I'd like to go back now to the King James translation and carry it on about there. Let's begin here on the 31st chapter. Well, the latter part of this 30th chapter. In the latter days you shall consider it. There is the time of the prophecy. He tells us to consider this prophecy in the latter days. In the latter days. Now chapter 31. At the same time, says the Eternal, will I be a God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. What time? In the latter days, at the time of the second coming of Christ, when he snaps the thongs, when he breaks the yoke that is put upon us. That's the time that he says he will be a God to all the families of Israel. That's the time when, as the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 11, so all Israel shall be saved. That doesn't mean every individual in it. But it does mean that our people as a whole and our people as a nation are going to find eternal salvation in the end. My friends, a great purpose is being worked out here below. And we better wake up and learn what that purpose is. And learn why we have not been conforming to it and how we can. We've been conforming ourselves to this world. And we should come out of this world and be not conformed to it. Thus says the Eternal, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. Yes, and in the dungeon, some of them have that, in the prisoners' dungeons. Many of our people are going to find salvation when these things happen. God is going to punish us just like a loving father punishes his child because he loves him. And we have lessons to learn. My friends, why don't we wake up? Why don't you wake up as an individual and find God's way in your own heart and begin to obey God? Repent.
You have heard The World Tomorrow with Herbert W. Armstrong. For literature offered on this program, send your requests along with the call letters of this station to Herbert W. Armstrong.